Let's take our Bibles tonight. We'll be in Matthew 14. Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to look at the last couple of verses in Matthew 14 that I hope will be a blessing and a help to us this evening. We're going to start in verse 34. Matthew 14. Verse 34, the Bible says, "And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." I want to preach tonight, touched by the hem of his garment. Let's pray before we continue. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening asking for that divine touch that can make a difference. Certainly, we think of in the physical realm, but certainly even in the spiritual realm for the salvation that's needed for lost sinners and even for believers, Lord, that are still dealing with effects of the curse of sin on this world that causes so much friction, temptation, anxiety, pressure, overwhelmingness. And Lord, we can come to you with all of these needs and cares, and you can make us perfectly whole. Help us to see the solution is always going to you and reaching out for that touch. Lord, help us to just be blessed by the teaching of your word. Would you minister in our hearts that we're not just hearers of the word tonight, but doers also. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. If you've been coming the last few weeks, we've been looking at some interesting miracles of our Lord, especially right here in Matthew chapter 14. And this really shows God's victory and authority and power over all of creation. And maybe you've heard of the Navy SEAL. That's an important branch of our military, the Special Forces. And my brother-in-law, my wife's sister's husband, Robert, is in the Navy. They're stationed in Korea, actually, if you remember to pray for them. But when he was first graduating from the Naval Academy, he had his sights on perhaps being a Navy SEAL. He was excited about going that route, but injuries kind of turned that direction for him. But the Navy SEALs, their name literally comes from the fact that sea, air, and land, right? They're able to effectively get into any of those areas and do their operations. And you could say what we've seen in this chapter is Jesus operating on the sea and air when he walked on water. And tonight we're seeing Christ operating on land, doing what he does best. He's healing those that come to him in true faith, and that healing touch of Christ makes a tremendous difference in their life. It's interesting, this passage talks about the hem of his garment, but we can talk about his hand and his heart. That's far better than just a piece of clothing, amen? It's because of his heart of compassion for needy people that we can even go to him to find healing, to be made whole. We have a loving and compassionate God. That's the great blessing of this passage. This scripture reminds me of one we studied previously back in Matthew 9. Let's turn back to Matthew chapter 9 in our Bibles. Matthew 9. And let's see here. Let's look at verse 18. It says, "While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." Wow, this is a man with great faith, by the way. He comes to Christ, and he knows he is able. The question is he willing? And Jesus arose and followed him. So he was willing. It was the Lord's will here. And so did his disciples. But on the way there, the Bible says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched," there it is again, "the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. And in those two stories, we see two ladies that the Lord, through His power, through His grace and compassion, He miraculously provided healing, one even raising from the dead. And again, it all centers around Christ's compassion and His might and power. And in the story, in the case of this woman with the issue of blood, we see especially in that case that our Lord commended her when He could have rebuked her. In verse 22, you know, He was on His way somewhere else and she kind of interrupted the situation. And we can say a lot about a woman in those days interrupting what a man was doing in his work. And in those days, that was a cultural taboo. You shouldn't do something like that. We could talk about how she was diseased and she shouldn't have been around other people. She should have been kept away. But she made her way to Christ because she was desperate. That's important too. But He didn't rebuke her. He said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Our Lord is looking for those that truly will believe on Him. And it's in those people they can experience His healing touch, His divine power at work in their lives. Faith is that key that unlocks the door to God's power and might. So it's similar what we're looking at in Matthew 14. And it also brings the question of why in the world is there all this disease and sickness and suffering? Not only in Jesus' day, but is there still disease and suffering today? Absolutely. With all of our advance in medical technology, people are living longer and we have more access to hospitals and great health care. But can I tell you something? All of us are prone to disease and suffering. You know, my mom's a nurse and she's always telling me, "You don't even know what you might have." That's the honest truth, is none of us can see every single cell inside of our bodies, every single microbe. I'm scaring some of you right now, they're germaphobes. Every microbe that's in there. And so the reality is, our health is something that we're not in control of, is it? There are certain things, of course, we can do to be healthy, but the honest truth is, it's the grace of God that any of us can even draw breath and enjoy any measure of health. But the question is still there, why is there suffering and disease and sickness and cancers and novel coronaviruses and other things too, things that maybe grieve some people. Maybe there's some parents with children with some deep disabilities and handicaps and health issues. And the question is, why in the world is there all of this pain and disease and suffering? Of course, the Word of God tells us back in the beginning, it's all because of the fall of man. Sin and death has passed upon all men, the Bible says. And this world literally is cursed. So the reason for disease and sickness is mankind's fault, sin, and the effects of sin into this world. And here we see that God has an answer for all of that. In Him, all disease, all pain and suffering can cease by the word of His power or even by His touch. And the application, of course, spiritually, that more important than getting healed, one day you're still going to die again, is getting eternal life. Getting that spiritual healing, healing from your sin, to have a home in heaven secured. And Jesus provides all of that, but we have to come to Him in faith. He says, "Daughter, be of good comfort." So the Lord brings healing. He brings comfort and compassion and power. But in these stories, in Matthew 9 in particular, in our text, in Matthew 14, we see this phrase, the hem of His garment. I want to spend some time talking about what is the significance of the hem of His garment. The word hem means fringe, tassel, or the border of a garment. We read about it in the book of Numbers. Our Lord prescribed the garments of some of the priests and the format for worship. And in Numbers chapter 15, let's look at verse 38. Numbers 15 and verse 38 says, "Speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye use to go a-whoring." So the hem of someone's garment was a significant piece of what they would wear in the ancient world, especially for the Jews. And the word used here is the Hebrew word tzitzit. I'm probably butchering that. If you speak Hebrew, it might be like scratching on a chalkboard or something. That's my Americanization of it, amen. And that speaks of that hem, that tassel. And the mantle of that time was this long rectangular cloth that they would wear, almost like a robe draped down over the body. And it had four corners at the bottom. And the Israelites were to attach tassels to each of those corners and hem the garment in blue, as we just read. Over time, the style changed, of course, from the days of Moses all the way to the times of the Roman Empire. But essentially, that was the format that they would use to dress. Over time, the cloth became more rounded at the bottom, so it didn't necessarily always have corners on it. So the Israelites developed something called the tallit. And all Orthodox Jews of that day wore a tallit. When the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, it would have been one of those tassels that folks wore in those days. This tallit, this covering, this and the tassels, it was very symbolic. It was symbolic of authority, symbolic of power. That's ultimately what it pointed to. And Christ has all authority, all power, because he's God. That's very significant. It also here shows this reference for worship and for prayer. Again, it served as a prayer shawl, and it was this covering that someone would wear. And literally the tradition of those days was when they would put on that covering, they would read an inscription, something that was inscribed on the garment itself. They would kiss that inscription, put it on, and that shawl was almost a way of kind of insulating them from the outside world. In fact, it's the same idea of in Matthew 6 when our Lord talked about entering into your prayer closet, right? It's the same idea of it's just me and God. I'm separating myself from the world to spend quality time with God. And it was used often as a time of prayer. We see a few references to the hem of the garment throughout the Old Testament. You might remember David fleeing from King Saul in the cave, and King Saul is coming for his life. And the Bible tells us David spared his life, and he wanted to have evidence that he could have taken King Saul's life, but he didn't. And the Bible says he cut just the hem of Saul's robe that he was wearing. And even there's symbolism, because that hem of his garment signified his authority, his role as king. And it's almost like God was saying, he's no longer going to be king. David is going to be the next king. That was a significant moment. We preached recently on Elijah being taken up to heaven, and Elisha was given Elijah's mantle, and that's the same idea, that shawl, that cloth, that would have those tassels on them on the outer garments. And there's many other references throughout the Bible to this specific cloth that they would wear and the tassels, the hem of the garment. All right, so what can we learn from all of this? It's just a piece of fashion that in America, most of us don't really dress that way anymore. It's not commanded of us, that's for sure. But what can believers learn about this? Well, if you're still here in Numbers 15, look at verse number 40. God was telling them that they would have this so that they could remember his commandments, right? As it was a visual symbol to remind them of their commandments. Verse 40, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. It was a way of an identity marker, showing that, hey, you're different from all the other nations. You belong to me. You're following me as your true God. Verse 41, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, God isn't commanding us to dress specifically this way today, but do you think how we dress matters to God still? That we represent the Lord well? You know, the springtime and the warm weather is coming. Does that mean that especially ladies have to follow the worldly trends and literally undress because that's fashionable and just show it all off? No, not at all. I think that's going to completely against what the Bible teaches and our faith, our walk with Christ. The Bible talks about shamefacedness and being modest and adorning ourselves not just the way the world wants to draw attention to our bodies, but what about our walk with God? Our faith, the wisdom God's given us, that's what we should draw attention to, not our bodies. So I think how we dress still, it matters to God today. But what can we learn from this format of dress, this mantle? or these tassels, the hem of the garment that we're looking at tonight. Well, first, you see, the Lord prescribed this manner of dress to show His special relationship to His people. Tonight, we have a special relationship to God. And it's not based exactly on the clothing that we wear. I know this. But can I tell you, we've been given His Holy Spirit. That's the identity marker, the Holy Spirit that lives within us. That's the guarantee, by the way, of all that He's promised us. The Holy Spirit is inside of every Christian, letting us know that God is our Heavenly Father and we are His children. That's the identity marker, the Spirit of God. And it's this reminder that we have a relationship with God. You know, some people treat the Christian life, I guess, like it is a religion, that I have a list of rules and I just have to check every box, go on down the box. Okay, there I did it. There I'm done. Whew, got that over with. You can choose to live the Christian life that way. I don't think it'll get very far, though. Or you can say, I'm in a relationship with my Heavenly Father. He loves me with an unconditional love, and I love Him back. And all that He asks of me, I'd be more than happy to obey. I get to go to church. I get to read my Bible. I get to honor Him and be a witness and give and support the ministry. And it's not I have to. It's I get to because of the relationship that I have with Him. There's a big difference in that mindset. We have a real relationship with God. He is our Lord. He's our God. It's a real personal relationship. Keep your place in Numbers. Let's go to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. The children of Israel were to know to whom they belonged to, and what was expected of them. And in Exodus 19 and verse 6, our Lord says, "Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." Now, Peter in his epistle applied that to believers in the New Testament, that we're set apart, we're to be a royal priesthood, we're a peculiar people, right? We belong to Christ, we're different and set apart from the world around us. We have a real personal relationship with God. And that also means that there are requirements because of that relationship. You know, a lot is dismissed in our culture today of responsibilities and requirements. Everybody wants the positions, everybody wants acknowledgement, but they don't want the responsibility and accountability that comes with that. And there are requirements because we belong to God. We're talking about those tassels, the hem of the garment there. Again, all four corners was a reminder that you're required to obey my commandments. As they would walk and as they would see that on their dress and the dress of others, it was a reminder, hey, we're people of the covenant. This is who we are. We have a relationship with God and we are duty bound to serve God. So yes, the motivation is love, but there is a duty, an obligation that I need to honor Christ, I need to obey His commandments. And He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it's the requirement of our obedience. And those tassels on every corner was to remind those believers of what that was. It's a reminder of our redemption by God, not just our relationship or our requirements, but our redemption. In Numbers 15:41, He says, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." You'll know that the great act of redemption in the Old Testament is the Exodus. That's the central act of redemption that we see referred to over and over again. Hey, here's how you know I love you, that I'm your God, because I delivered you from Egypt and I brought you to myself to be my people. And God is always having to remind the Israelites about that great act of redemption. We still revere and honor that. Well, the great act of redemption for the New Testament is, of course, the cross. Just a few weeks, we'll be celebrating Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. Of course, every Sunday is really a tribute to the resurrection of our Lord. But we're remembering that great act of redemption, that He died on the cross. He shed His precious blood to pay the price that we ourselves incurred upon ourselves. He paid the penalty for our sin. The atonement was fulfilled. He died, was buried, and rose again from the dead, the Bible says. Payment made in full. Now there's a way of salvation, forgiveness, because of Christ. So this is a reminder. We've been redeemed, literally purchased out of the slave market of sin, bought out of the clutches of the enemy, and now we belong to Christ. Tonight, never forget, you've been redeemed. And salvation is free, but it did cost something, not to you or me, but it cost our Lord his precious blood that he with love willingly shared and laid down his life to provide for. Never forget that. We've been redeemed. So this redemption, this promise that we have to be with God, that he will be our God, will be his people, that extends to us as well. Well, let's go back to Matthew 14. And maybe you didn't think you'd get ancient culture fashion description tonight, but you know, the Bible gives us this information. It's important, and I think it's helpful for us to know it and study it. And so the hem of the garment that Jesus wore had a lot of symbolism behind it. And certainly, we see more importantly than the hem of his garment is really a point of contact for Christ. And that's what I want to focus on tonight, what Christ offers for those who trust in him. What Christ offers for those who trust in him. Our text says in Matthew 14, verse 34, when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Remember, they had just experienced that miracle of Christ walking on water, Peter also walking on water with him, and that rescue, and they worshipped him as the Son of God. And now they're traveling on, verse 35, when the men of that place had known of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. You know, this is a great picture of evangelism. That's what we ought to be doing. That, hey, there is a Savior. There is a healer. That we can look around and diagnose and see the sickness and disease spiritually in our city. I know you can see it. I see it. You turn on the news, all you hear is more rape, more murder, more rioting, more upset. Everybody's getting all upset and all these issues and fears and anxieties that our culture has. And we can sit back and diagnose, or we can say, hey, there is an answer to all of this, and bring people to Christ. And the folks of this city, they realized, hey, Jesus Christ, he's coming, he's available. Let's gather all those that are sick and bring them to Jesus Christ. What a great picture of what churches ought to be doing, getting sinners to Christ. And so they gather the folks around in the city, and in verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. I want you to notice that the blessing of healing only extended to those that reached out and touched. There's a great lesson there on the faith response that everyone's called to have, that the gospel is given. Jesus paid it all, as we say. We don't earn our salvation. We can't work for it. We can't impress God with our good works or any of the good deeds we can do. But we can respond to all that he's done. And because the payment was made, we are simply called to respond and reach out and receive it by faith. But it's not enough to just know about it in your head, to know that, hey, sin is the problem, Christ is the answer. You must reach out in faith, amen? And there are many people perhaps in that city that did not do that. The Bible is very specific, as many as touched. Perhaps there were many that did not touch. They said, hey, I heard there's a healer coming, the Lord, the Messiah, the Son of God, but I don't know if he could heal me. I might be too rough of a case. Or I don't know if he's good enough or strong enough to heal my situation. And whatever excuse sinners can make for why they don't reach out and touch the hem of his garment. But those that did, the Bible is very clear, they were made perfectly whole. And that idea of wholeness is they were complete. They were complete in Christ, that everything that they needed, Christ provided and satisfied. And that's what sinners discover when they do respond in faith to Jesus, that he is their all in all. That song we sing, that Jesus Christ was made to me all I need, wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness, this very hour, my redemption pure and free, he is all I need. And that's what we have to discover, that Christ makes us perfectly whole. And these sinners, these ones that were sick with disease, they touched and they discovered the healing touch of Jesus. Now, the hem of his garment, we talked about the symbolism, the significance behind that.
What does it mean?
Does that mean that everyone has to do exactly that specific act of touching physically the hem of someone's garment? There's other interesting scriptures that are along these same lines. Go to Acts chapter 19, an interesting miracle in Acts chapter 19 and verse 11. The Bible says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." So some might say, hey, we got to get some of these hankies and aprons. This is the way of healing. Let's look at another scripture. Let's look at Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the resters, no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them." So Peter's shadow, some of these cloths and aprons and the hem of our Lord's garment, what does this all signify? Well, ultimately, what we're going to define is that these articles of clothing, that was just a point of contact, but ultimately it was faith, their belief on the Lord, their trust in His power and His will, that's what brought the healing, that's what brought the deliverance. And our Lord commended many folks for that. Your faith hath made thee whole. So you can touch as many garments as you want, but if you don't have the faith, it's not going to do anything. You can stand under whoever's shadow or whatever the case may be, but that was simply just the point of contact there, but it was their faith, their trust that the Lord is real. His grace is sufficient. He can meet my needs, and their faith is what brought about these mighty miracles. So the hem of Jesus' garment provided this physical object that enabled their belief and faith for God to heal them at that moment. And I have good news. Spiritually speaking, the hem of His garment is still available if you have faith. If you in faith are seeking for God, you're seeking for Him to do a work in your life. I don't have to ask how many of you have needs in your life tonight, because I know that's all of us. Probably some of us can raise both hands. But where are we going to with those needs? Are we harboring them ourselves and says, you know what, I can get through this. I can just grit my teeth and tough it out. Or maybe, hey, I'll just consult the modern day philosophies of this world and therapists and all the different tricks and things that they say you do and try to get rid of your problems. Or we can decide there is a Savior. There is a healer. And you know, He heals physical diseases, but there's a lot of spiritual and mental diseases too, and things that we struggle and wrestle with. And we have to learn to bring to Him, to bring at His feet and reach out in faith for His touch, believing that He is able. A lot of Christians fail to do that. I have good news. The hem of His garment can still be touched by faith tonight. I want you to know how important it is to reach out and touch God. God makes Himself available. He says, "Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you." God wants to be near and present and active in our lives, but guess what? Are we seeking Him? If we're not seeking Him, we're not going to find Him. We're not going to be able to touch Him. And so some say He can't, and so He doesn't. But those that reach out in faith, as many as touched, were made perfectly whole. Maybe you've seen the famous painting by the artist Michelangelo, the Sistine Chapel, back in 2017, I had the blessing, I got to go to Rome, and I got to see that beautiful painting. I know you can see it online or maybe in textbooks, and a beautiful painting. And in that picture, The Touch of God is the name of that painting, I believe it is, or The Creation of Adam, rather. And it's a picture of Adam reaching out to touch God, and I guess God reaching down to touch Adam, but they never quite meet in that picture. But we could say a lot about Michelangelo's theology and the Catholicism and all of that. But there's this gap because they never could exactly meet. But the gospel tells us that Christ came to us. He came to be near and present and active, and we can reach out and touch him in faith, believing that he is able to deliver, he's able to save, he's able to heal. But we have to reach out in faith, believing. So as beautiful and culturally important as that painting might be, it's wrong, because we can have access to God through Jesus Christ when we believe and have faith. The scripture is very clear. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. Do you need the touch of Christ on your life tonight? Whatever your situation, whatever your needs, your family, certainly our church, our ministry, we can't do anything apart from that divine touch that can make a difference. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we're so grateful that these miracles we read about in your public earthly ministry set the tone for how we can come to you even still today. Lord, you're still able to perform miracles. Help us to never doubt you. Help us to always trust you and learn to seek and discern your will. Certainly, if you're willing and able, Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. And Lord, I'm certain that around the room this evening, there are many burdens being carried, perhaps some physical, some spiritual. There's needs that we have as your people. Lord, help us to embrace the reality that we can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us, that we can reach out and touch in faith and be made whole. We can experience the divine blessing of victory that you provide when we believe on you. Help us to understand that tonight and apply that in our own personal situations. Lord, perhaps there's someone here that's lost, never been saved. Certainly that's their greatest need, to have spiritual healing from sin, to be born again, to be made perfectly whole and saved. I pray you deal with them tonight, they respond. As our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight, maybe that's you, that you're not certain of your salvation. I know it's a Sunday night, many professed believers tonight and walking with the Lord for many years, but maybe there's some that there's a question or a doubt or concern about your salvation. We want to pray for you if God's dealing with you about that. Is there anyone that would say, Pastor, that's my need. I need to be saved. I need to be made perfectly whole in my salvation. God's spoken to me. Would you raise your hand now? Oh, tonight, any burden, any need you have, will you take it to Jesus? We're going to have a time of prayer, and there's so many needs in our ministry. We need God's touch if we're going to see souls saved, if we're going to reach and impact the next generation. If we're going to pierce through so much of what Satan is trying to do to cloud the minds of sinners, we can't hope to do any of that in our own strength. We need that touch from above. I'm going to have us all stand, and let's all stand as our pianist begins to play softly. Let's have a time of prayer tonight. Let's come to him. Let's reach out and touch that hem of his garment, so to speak. And let's have faith that he's able. Whatever your need is, come before him. He's able. Let's just believe and trust.